Hi, you are listening to AV Power Up. I am AV Krista, that is Krista Bender, your host for this evening.
Hi, you're listening to AV Power Up. I'm Chuck Espinoza, and I am very, very happy to be here.
Just like me.
Hi, you're listening to AV Power Up. I am Stacey Kringlin, and I am far more excited than Chuck, I think, to be here.
You sound it.
Hi, you're listening to AV Power Up. I'm Hope Roth at Beer and Pie, and if Chuck doesn't blink in the next 10 seconds, I think he's doing this podcast under duress.
Hey, welcome back, Hope. And I am Corey Moss, and at CB Moss on Twitter, let's not forget. And you are listening to the show that brings you Krista Bender, Chuck Espinoza, Stacey Kringlin, Hope Roth, back again, the two of them. Thanks for coming back and you know, gracing us with your presence. And you are listening to AV Power Up, the NAB show. Take it away, Krista.
Yay! So this show is bananas. You are going to be on the edge of your seat the entire time.
This is bananas?
Yes, it's bananas. We've got multiple manufacturers that are going to be calling in during this show. Anyone from Vadio, Marshall, Sennheiser, Fujinon, and who knows, maybe even some others. We are going to have two people call in with their on-the-floor, show-floor experience to give us a insight to what's going on at NAB. It's quite exciting. It's a different format, and we hope that you are going to enjoy it as much as we're enjoying talking about it.
Is this going to be the AV Power Up Surprise Me show?
It is.
Oh, wow. We could get in callers from this show that could be from all ends of the earth then, I guess.
We could.
Oh, okay.
And beyond.
And beyond.
Exactly.
So I, before the mayhem starts, I want to take a moment to mention and thank our sponsor, Ingram Micro. With over 40 locations throughout the world, Ingram Micro can help you with your AV or IT needs. Ingram Micro offers technology resellers a broad selection of programs and services and welcomes all business sizes to join the Ingram Micro programs and communities.
You know, you love them, you need them, you got to buy from them.
Exactly. Okay. And I am very happy to announce that our first guest has arrived, Mr. Bruce McClellan with Applied Video Technology. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Krista. How are you doing?
Good. So you have me, you have Chuck, Hope, Stacy, and Corey.
Last but not least.
So we are excited to hear about what's going on down at NAB.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. What kind of questions do you have? What would you like to know about?
Is the food good?
That's what everyone wants to know.
It is good. The food in Las Vegas is very good. It's also very expensive.
It is Vegas, you know.
I guess you get what you pay for.
They hit the truth.
What booth was the craziest? Was it Black Magic again, or was there somebody else who upped the ante?
I would say Black Magic was packed. But I would also say that I thought that the attendance in general at NAB this year was superb. There were a lot of people there this year.
Okay. Do you think this is the biggest attendance ever?
I don't know. I didn't see any figures to back that up, but my feeling in walking around was that it was just extremely crowded. And I've been to quite a few NABs, and I didn't always feel that way. But this year, it was a lot of people there.
Hey, Bruce, it's Corey. I was going to ask if you do go every year, and it sounds like you do go often. So year upon year at NAB, I mean, what kind of things do you see in terms of changes and industry, what happens in the industry or what's happening this year versus last year?
I would say the changes are over time have been kind of subtle. I wouldn't say that this year there was any earth-shaking new type of technology that was introduced. I would say the trend in the broadcast sector is for more and more internet distribution. You know, there's an emphasis that I noticed this year in a lot of the exhibits. A lot of the manufacturers were talking about, you know, cloud technologies. I think a lot of the manufacturers over the last several years have started to try and move more away from product and kind of commodity box sales into more of a services-oriented approach. And that plays into the cloud technology, because you're looking at a lot of information, a lot of content that goes through a whole transcoding process, so that a multitude of files can be distributed and deployed through a whole variety of different viewing devices, you know, mobile devices and every different operating system, different file sizes, file formats. You know, there's a lot of talk about how 4K, which is four times the resolution of high definition, fits into these kinds of models. Of course, when you look at 4K and everyone's talking about it, especially from the broadcast sector, because the manufacturers are trying to come up with, you know, new technologies to continue to sustain their business. But there's a lot of variables there from, you know, I mean, consumers for the last year or so have been able to go into a Best Buy and buy 4K screens. But to develop that content, both from cameras and switchers and recording devices, you know, they're kind of playing up with the endpoints, which are the consumers' TVs. But I do believe that 4K is definitely, you know, about to hit us in a big way. There's a lot of content being produced, and then it gets back to a whole new reason why you need to transcode these files into these high data rates file sizes, so that they can reach, you know, mobile devices, Android devices, Apple devices, and all sizes and shapes and forms. So that's kind of what I saw the trend in a general sense. There were a lot of companies talking about, you know, cloud deployment and massive storage systems, you know, at likes of Amazon and, you know, Verizon and Google and companies like that, that Microsoft, that have a lot of cloud technology. Sony introduced cloud deployment as some of the services that they're trying to offer now. So that's kind of a trend that I would say that I saw more so this year than, say, last year.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Good. Now, Bruce, I have a great question. Were you with Mike and Albert last night or the other night when they got to see the Bengals perform?
It was last night, and yes, I was there.
Did you say the Bangles?
Yeah, the Bangles.
They're still
the
Bangles.
Were you walking like an Egyptian?
Walked like an Egyptian. Yeah, I all walked like Egyptian.
Do they have any other songs that they play, or did they just play Walk
I think
like
they played over and over again.
Times in a row, like What's-His-Face when he plays at Fenway.
Yeah, well, obviously that's a big song. They had a couple other, I would say, you know, hit songs that I did recognize. They played for about an hour and 5 minutes, and it was entertaining. It was fun.
Do they still look the same?
Yes, but they're <years old. laughs>
I remember. What's
they
her
look
name?
Like a bunch
Susanna,
of,
is it
they
Susanna
look like
Hoffs?
A bunch of moms with guitars.
Yeah, what's her name? What's her name? Susanna Hoffs. Is she like the lead singer? That's Susanna Hoffs, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a mom who plays a guitar.
Yes, that's
you
right. Go.
Mom with yeah. moms playing so, guitars. Moms playing
you,
guitar.
Do you know Walk Like an Egyptian?
I do not. That
can
is
you
not,
sing it?
That
Hope?
Is not in my repertoire. Although
now Bruce wants you to sing Walk Like an Egyptian.
What about Manic Monday? Isn't Manic
Monday? Oh, Manic Monday.
They did, they played that. Yeah.
This
that
is like
the
Monday was
third
Cindy
song
Lauper.
They played.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
This is
good. It was funny when they came out and they played Walk Like an Egyptian, every single person in the crowd, and I don't know, it was a small crowd, but it might have been over 1,000 people. It was a Sony party is what it was.
Oh, okay.
And every single person had their cell phone out and was recording it. So it was kind of funny.
Okay, so back to you talked about 4K. It's obviously an ad infinitum. It's pretty much ad infinitum discussion in the industry, Bruce, like till we're all blue in the face. But I could see at NAB where 4K becomes very meaningful discussion. So you talk about content and everybody's saying we're waiting for the content, who knows when it's going to come and all. So what are you seeing? I hear it's a very, very serious discussion at NAB this year especially.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why it's going to happen is because the price points for a lot of the production, the 4K production products, have started to come down. They're more affordable. An example is that Sony, it's the FS7 camera. Great camera. It's suddenly like become like the all-time, one of the all-time best-selling cameras that Sony's had in a very short period of time. It's 4K, and you see it. You saw it everywhere around the floor. It's a $10,000 camera. Extremely professional, film-like characteristics, interchangeable lenses, and so you start to look at those kind of price points, and you know, and that includes the switchers and a lot of other products out there. So I think you're going to see the ability for production companies and individuals, for that matter, to be able to start to originate content in 4K.
Cool. Awesome, Bruce. Well, I could tell you that you missed an exciting day at the office today, but I'm sure Ash filled in Buffy about that. The people across the street had the police called in, so that was a whole crazy thing.
Wow. Police and everything. Huh,
I didn't hear about that. I'm hearing that for the first time, but I hope that somebody recorded it in 4K. That's all.
There you go.
We had our new Sony 4K set up at the window, like peeping toms, and we were taking care of it.
And they were singing "Every Breath You Take," right?
Hey, well, that's awesome, Bruce. Thank you for taking the time to call in and give us a little bit of a lowdown. Safe travels to LA, and I'll see you next week.
All right.
Thank you, Bruce.
It was nice to speak with everyone. Sure. Anytime. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
All right.
All right. So I believe I have my next guest.
Don't we get a breath? I mean, do the callers just call it rapid?
No, you got to keep going.
Every breath you take.
Every breath you take.
So unless I'm mistaken.
Wait, hang on. Wait a second. Everybody breathe. Hold on. 1, 2, 3. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Now, this should be Tom Calabro from Fujinon. Is that correct?
This is actually Devin from Marshall Electronics.
Oh, all right. Let's do this, Devin. All right.
Devin, did you tie him up and throw him in a closet? What did you do? Wow. So we've got Devin Kress.
All right.
You know how I know it's Devin Kress?
No.
You heard my nice voice?
No, Devin Kress. It's Corey Moss.
No way. How are you doing, Corey? long time no talk.
No, long time no talk. Yes. Yes.
Now here, I believe we have Tom. Tom, are you there?
I am here.
Perfect. Oh. We have Tom from Fujinon, and we have Devin from Marshall Electronics.
Sounds like a wrestling match to me.
Yes. Whoever wrestles the best can win.
Oh, boy. How are we going to do this, Krista? We weren't set up for this.
Two guests enter, one guest leaves.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, Devin, if you don't mind, could you just hold a second, and we'll talk to Tom about the new lens offerings that are being showcased at NAB?
Sure. Absolutely. No problem.
Okay, right. Cool. Tom, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. So go ahead and jump right in and give us a little lowdown on the new exciting 4K lenses that Fujinon is showing.
Yeah, we do have 4K lenses. You know, we've been in the 4K business for some time, but only with our PL mount. So we're quite widely known in the cinema business. We actually have a couple of movies being shot right now. One is Tomorrowland with our lenses. So they are definitely top quality. But we also wanted to address the broadcaster, and since camera manufacturers are coming out with 2/3-inch 4K cameras, we thought it would be great that Fujinon make 2/3-inch 4K lenses to complement those cameras. So we are introducing two lenses here, the UA 80x9, which is a big box lens field camera for doing sports and entertainment. And we have a handheld unit called the UA22x8, which is looks like it's a standard ENG lens. And that is being shown at NAB, both of them, actually, for the first time.
Okay, awesome. So have, since your products tend to complement everyone else and their offerings, do you have any of the lenses currently at the, any of the other booths being showcased to help show, to help maybe their cameras look even better?
We do, we do. We have in Sony's booth, in Grass Valley's booth, and also in Hitachi's booth, we have the UA22x8. And in out in the courtyard area where all the mobile trucks are, Mobile TV Group has a UA80x9 on one of their Grass Valley cameras. You know, these lenses, they are 4K, true 4K, not just in the center, but edge to edge, top to bottom, and corner to corner. And that's also throughout the zoom range. You know, not all lenses will maintain their best performance in every single focal point. So we've created lenses that have two floating zoom focus groups that as the operator will zoom the lens, these focus elements will take care of the aberrations and so that it maintains the utmost focus throughout the range, which so this is quite unique. Also in these lenses, we've developed this new HT-EBC coating, which is high transmittance electron beam coating, that will give us an image that has a lot of contrast and a lot of dynamic range. And that's what the viewer is going to see first. They're not going to see they will see the fine detail in the hair, but they really have to look for it. But when you look at a monitor, as soon as you see that, you know, deep black color, the vibrant colors coming through those blacks, that's what really strikes the viewer the most. So that those coatings are helping these lenses look just fantastic. And what also they do is they also help the camera. We give more blue light because of these coatings through the lens to the sensor. And blue is where most of your noise comes from in these cameras. So if you could provide a higher signal, that means the amplifier does not have to work as hard. So you could crank down the amplifier a little bit in these cameras and you get a quieter picture. So if you're using these lenses on 4K cameras or if you use them on your traditional current HD cameras, you're going to get a better picture.
Okay, cool. Well, I got to say, Tom, that I'm so glad that you decided to call in instead of Bob because you you totally sound like you know what you're talking about on that.
Wait a second. Bob would be the wrong guy to call in on this.
No, but I reached out to Bob because that's who I always deal with. And he's like, no, I don't want to do this. Let me get you somebody better.
Well, Tom, we try for accuracy on every show. So we're really glad you called in then.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Well, we were really excited about the product. As a matter of fact, today we're giving the Best of Show Award from TV Technology for our 4K lens, two-thirds inch lens series. So we're real excited about that award, the products, and being on your show.
Congratulations.
Awesome. Congrats.
That's great. That's great. Great stuff.
All right, Tom, I am going to shift over to Devin. Do you have any last words you want to say?
Will and testament, you know, whatever.
No, thank you very much for having me. And we certainly enjoy being part of the show. And if anybody needs more information, they could go to our website, you know, fujinon.com. And I have all the PDFs on all the brochures there and my contact information. So anybody would like to contact me directly, please go right ahead.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much, Tom.
Very good.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Yeah. Hi, Devin.
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Devin.
So I now have what your official title is. You are the Director of Sales Broadcast AV Division.
How do you put that on a business?
That's a lot of words.
It takes three lines. It takes three lines. It's a lot of work.
Did they take your email address off the card to fit it?
So I have about 4 email addresses, and I choose the shortest one when I put it on my business card. That makes it a little bit easier.
Why don't you just carry 4 business cards?
I always try to simplify things.
Why don't you just carry 4 business cards?
Does your business card look
like a possibility?
What is it? Do I say that again, Hope?
I said, does it look like a little accordion?
Accordion. There's an idea. So anyway, Devin, you know, I said my name, and he said, huh, what? Yes, Devin and I go a little ways back. Devin, tell the story before we get into your NAB story.
We've worked together before. I worked for a company prior to this, Anchor Audio, and we did a lot of business in the past. Corey's been a big supporter of wherever I go. So, you know, he's been fantastic, knows a lot about the business. Mm-hmm. So, love the guy, funny guy. Pleasure to do an interview with you.
Wow. Thank you for all the endorsements, Devin, and the check is in the mail.
Yeah. All right.
Be careful cashing it, though, okay?
Yeah, you might get
a bunch of zeros on it.
A whole bunch of zeros from the start of the check, exactly.
He's the, he's the Corey to your Jane.
I'm good for it. Don't worry about it.
All right. Sounds good.
So, Marshall Electronics. Well, cool. Here we go. Fast forward.
So Marshall's introducing a lot of new products lately. You know, most people in the marketplace know Marshall for doing LCD monitors and racks. And of course, that's still a large business for us. We do that. We have multiple product categories for that. We sell a lot of the broadcast monitors, but we also have some low cost confidence monitors that have become available that have become very popular. I would say that our transition and our move is into some other fields as well. The most popular product here is what I would call point of view cameras. Our booth has been absolutely slammed here at NAB with people looking at our miniature HDSDI cameras. These are professional HDSDI cameras that could fit in the palm of your hands. They have professional broadcast feature sets. So they're not a sports or action camera. They're used in a professional sense with full 1080p 60 or 5994 resolutions so that you can actually live broadcast out from unique points of view. Some of the applications that we're using these cameras in would be for NBA dunk cams. We use these in the most recent NCAA March Madness tournaments. These are used by F1 racing. Cool application that they're using some of these very small cameras or burying them in the racetracks. And then they take unique perspective view shots of the cars going over the cameras at 200 miles per hour. This is a product that's used in the House of Worship market. We sell these to many of the reality TV shows that are out there in the market today. So this is a growing line for Marshall outside of just the racks that has been very popular and growing very quickly for us.
Cool. That is awesome to hear. What's your vibe for the show floor, Devin? You know, is there a lot of people? Bruce McClellan earlier mentioned that he feels an immense amount of people that are there this year.
So we felt that there was just an absolutely enormous amount of people at the show. I would say, you know, sometimes we track things by how many people come by our booth, and it certainly was more than the previous year. We have a lot of new products that have attracted a lot of people to come over. But here's my gauge on how busy the show was. For every single day, I have not been able to take a breakfast or a lunch. I show up here at 9 in the morning. I work all the way through, and I don't stop until 6 o'clock. When I don't have time to take a break, that means the booth's pretty busy. The show's pretty busy.
Devin, are you looking for pity?
No, I'm not looking for pity.
Tomorrow, okay. Are you looking for an Egg McMuffin? I mean, what are we talking about?
Should we send you one of those T-shirts that says "I'm sorry for the things I said when I was hungry"? I need one of those for myself. So maybe I'll order 2.
Yeah, Hope is a programmer. She never gets to eat.
I'm fueled
with
by
a check
diet.
That's going to give me the paper cut.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say that a salesperson who can go a whole day being nice to people while not eating is a salesperson who is winning.
Who are we talking about?
What?
Who are we talking about?
Well, if you're in a booth and you're not eating and you're pressing the flesh all day, like, that's you know.
Careful about the flesh you press, okay?
Well, we weren't going to talk
just
about
saying.
Booth babes. Come on.
I'm just saying that's impressive to
wait a minute
without eating and to be nice to people when they come to your booth. I'd be like,
Wow, you would bite heads off, I'm assuming.
I would. I would be like, don't buy my product. It sucks. Go away.
I want to eat. Get out of here.
You would not like me when I'm hangry. You just
I cheated a little bit. I had a couple of peppermint candies, so I had a little.
Oh, you got nutrition.
At least she had fresh breath.
Exactly. Yes,
there you go.
I am no longer. Wow,
those sales guys! I tell you, they'll do it. They'll do it on an empty stomach or full. You guys are amazing. I tell you, you really are.
That's why I'm.
And
here.
On pep.
Yeah. So if you want to see more on the.
Go ahead.
If you want to see more on the products, I can tell your listeners to stop by our booth or go to our website, which is mars-cam.com. You can see all of our great products. The POV cameras, the new monitors that we have, some of the video conferencing solutions that we're starting to get into as well. Thanks. So it's been a pleasure to be on the phone with you, Corey.
Yeah,
pleasure
you as too. Always. You too, Devin, and there's actually four other people in the room.
Forget about the rest of us. We just
forget about the rest of them. It's just me and Devin right now. It's all about me and Devin.
Right now, I feel like I have one-on-one conversation.
The next guy's going to speak to everybody else, I promise.
Thank you very much, Devin.
All right, Devin.
You guys have a good one. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right.
All right.
Hey, guess what? No callers. Hurry up. Say something else.
Quick, take a breath.
Take a look.
All right, so there is lots of stuff going on at NAB, and one of the things I wanted to bring up was that SKB has designed a new specific military-grade roto-molded case that is a solution for some of the more popular 32-channel mixers that are on the market.
Ooh, and we got a Marine in the room, don't we?
Yeah, and he can lift a case.
Oh, he sure can.
But
I can drink a case.
they're claiming now that you don't need a bulky flight case anymore, that you could use these new cases. And I wanted to hear your take on that, Chuck, since you are our resident sound guy. How difficult is it or pain in the butt to ship stuff?
Well, in the military, it's really easy. You put it on a C-130, but you have to put it on yourself. So it's not like going to the airport and you drop your luggage off on a little cart thing and it like whisks away into the back of the airport land. Like you throw that shit on your back and you put it on the plane yourself. Mm-hmm. So the SKB rotomolds, I'm kind of on the fence about SKB rotomolds because like they're really lightweight. They're great for like throwing that on my back and having to put it on the plane. But I know like it's lightweight. I mean, military sound guys, like we have to hide behind our cases when we're taking fire. I mean, the band's sometimes not very good. And, you know, the audience does have guns. So the sound guy usually gets the first one. Okay. But the new SKB rotomolds for the 32s, I think they have two models out. One's for the Allen & Heath Q32, and the other one's for the Behringer X32. And I know that Behringer X32 with the 32 channels of Midas preamp is really popular now. So those are two good mixers for them to start out with. And, you know, there's an advantage to lightweight. I mean, the rotomold cases, if any sound guys ever had, you know, rotomold cases and then they go to the anvil cases are like three times the weight of the mixer, but they're, you know, you could drop them out of a plane. You can hide behind them when people are shooting at you. You could
squash a Wile E. Coyote.
I have squashed it. Like
oh, anvil cases. I get it.
You're right, Acme on the side of them.
Yep.
Wait, no, those are Acme cases, aren't they? Anvil cases, Acme cases.
Yeah. They have little bumps on them. Oh, those are Acme.
That's what Hope just said.
I thought you said anvil, Acme, whatever. You know, I'm sorry. I was on Facebook. I was doing something. Carry on. Carry on.
Yeah. Anyway, they have a beer holder too on them, so that's kind of cool.
Oh,
not really.
Oh, do you pay extra for the beer holder?
Yeah, I pay my beer holder extra because I mean that's a lot of beer. So the rotomolded cases. I mean, they have 32 channel cases. They're for the smaller 32 channel digital mixers. I can't imagine trying to mold a big like for a big 32 channel Verona or something. That's like a coffin. All right. Anyway, so Saved by the Bell. I think we have another guest.
We do have another guest, as a matter of fact. Krista.
Excellent. So our next guest is Achim Geisner from Sennheiser?
That's correct.
Hey.
Hi, everybody.
I
found a halfway quiet spot here at NAB, and I had some issues to dial in, but as it looks, I'm on time. That's cool.
You are on the dot.
Yes, that is perfect.
Excellent.
Cool. That's so, human precision. Yeah. Uh-huh.
There we go.
So please give us a little bit of background of what's going on with the Sennheiser booth. Is there any new products that you debuted at this year's NAB show?
Oh, you bet. I had an interview yesterday, and I said this year's NAB is the first NAB, at least in my career at Sennheiser, that we allow non-audio people to enter the booth. It's overwhelming. We had extremely good first 3 days based on the stuff we're launching at NAB. There are multiple new products. First of all, I think everybody should be aware of a wireless system, which has been designed with video people for video people, although it's an audio system. So it's a wireless system for videographers, for mobile journalists, for prosumers using DSLRs. And the difference to everything we ever did in our 70 years, you don't have to have a clue about wireless and you don't have to have a clue about audio to have Sennheiser quality sound with it. It's called AVX. One of the differences, for example, is so far we always had body pack receivers on video cameras. So these compact devices which you typically find on actors and on stage, and we took just the same form factor and put it on a camera to receive the audio from a wireless microphone, which is on the spot. But these video guys that we work with to design a new system, they go like, yeah, but body packs are made for human bodies, not necessarily for camera bodies. So that's the first difference we did. The receiver has a little bit of form factor, size of a lighter, and then a XLR plug on it. So you directly plug it into your video camera in the XLR in, and there is also an adapter for a hot shoe for a DSLR into a 3.5 on a DSLR camera, which is typically used for video. So that's the first difference. The second one is it is operating in the 1.9 gigahertz frequency range. 1.9 is kind of unusual for a wireless system to work in. The only other system that's using 1.9 is cordless phones. We're compliant with the white book, with the standard how to transmit data. Of course, it's not cordless phone sound; it's full 24-bit 48K high quality sound. But we're compliant with that standard, and that has a couple of advantages. Number one, it's license free, so you don't have to apply for a license to use that wireless system. Number two, it's safeguarded. You guys probably know about the issues that are going on in UHF. You never know how long you can use it, and more of that spectrum is going away for network operators and cell phones. Number three, the channel assignment, so which channel you use, is done by the system. You don't have to know about it. You can change it, as a matter of fact. So there are some positive effects using 1.9. Yesterday, a dealer asked me, where's the menu button on this wireless system? And I said, well, there is none, because there is nothing you can change, because there is nothing you may change and you have to change. You plug it in, the receiver detects the phantom power from the camera, turns himself on, and turns the transmitter on. So literally, the video guys are... If you're a videographer, you want to tell a story. You have, the moment to catch, you want to capture, and therefore you don't want to deal with your wireless system at all. And this is what AVX does. it was NAB was a world premiere. We showed it for the very first time. Start shipping in June. Kits are $8.99 in the US. And on today, after 3 days, we got 3 awards: Best of Show for the AVX system, one from Canada, TV Technologies nominated or awarded it Best of Show, and also the Video Maker magazine awarded it Best of the Show product. So we are very honored and extremely happy with the response we had for that system.
That is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm really a happy camper talking to you. So in case my audio is a little bit weak, that's not the audio of the phone. That's probably my voice fading out. But anyways,
if you're camping right now, Achim, we want to make sure this is a perfect experience for you, you know, if you're happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's pretty cool. And it's we were that busy and this the booth was packed, so it's quite advice and quite a reward. So many happy customers and saying, I want to have it now. What do you do with their samples on Thursday when the show ends? You know, so that's really 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 positive response.
Good.
The second one I'd like to mention is at NAMM this year in Anaheim, we announced a collaboration with another audio company in audio recording with company Apogee. And probably you heard of that. They are extremely well known in the audio recording industry for home recording devices, for recording audio recording into your Mac and very close to Apple. Mm-hmm. And at NAB, we're now showcasing the first 2 products that are a result of that collaboration with Apogee. It's 2 clip-on mics, so tie clips, that directly go into the Lightning port of an iPhone. It's called the ClipMic Digital and the MKE2 Digital, MKE2 for the audio guys. That's kind of the quasi standard for these tiny little lavalier mics, clip-on mics used in theaters and on stage and in broadcast. So these 2 clip-on mics, as said, using our acoustics, our microphones, which is our part in it, and the Apogee knowledge and skills in AD converters, and also they know a lot about how to feed it into an iPhone, because they're from Santa Monica, so they're very close to Cupertino and worked with Apple for quite a while. That's to our knowledge the first clip-on mics that directly feed into the Lightning port of an iPhone or an iPad. That provides superior audio quality if you do audio recording for, you know, professional users like doctors, for guys who want to do a good recording that's then going into transcription, but also for journalists on the road doing reports and stuff like that. They just plug in. Apogee is also supplying an app to do the audio recording, to do the really proper. Both products are also going to ship soon in 60 days for the ClipMic Digital in 30 days for the ClipMic Digital, 60 days for the MKE2 Digital. And it's Sennheiser product, Sennheiser branded, but we are more than proud to say they're powered by Apogee.
Excellent. So I tell you what, first of all, you said Apple a few times, so it looks like our podcast is sponsored by Apple now. We're all looking for trips to Cupertino, so, fly us out there. And I believe Hope was asking for microphones for all of us to have a better podcast with, so
yeah,
you arrange that too.
Absolutely.
I would like to demo some of your equipment so that I'm not using my Apple earbuds and constantly made fun of on
Twitter. Yeah. and if you get a ticket to Cupertino, because of my phone, let me know, I join you.
Okay, well, Hope, make sure when you fly out there you take Achim with you, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Achim, thank you. Thank
third
you
one, if I.
Oh, well, no, we only have time for two, Achim. You know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Got,
all right.
Yes, you get three. But why don't you tell everybody where to go to, you know, to find all this out?
Yeah, just join us on tomorrow, the last day of the show. We are in Central Hall at the Sennheiser booth, which is Central 2055.
All right, well, okay, but online too. So listeners
online
can also
too, that's,
go.
That is very easy. It's www.sennheiser.com.
Excellent.
And you find all these new releases. For the U.S. guys, there is a U.S. page, which is sennheiserusa.com.
Excellent. Well, sir, thank you so much for calling in. Sennheiser is a great company, great stuff. Sounds like you're doing great things at NAB. So congratulations, and we'll talk
thank
to you again
you.
Soon.
All right. Thank
Thanks
you,
for having me.
Okay.
And have a great show. Thank
nice.
You.
Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
Okay, wait. I think we – okay, everybody breathe. One, two, three. Okay. So before we move on to Hope, because she's back finally, and Stacy's back. Oh, and we have something from Stacy in a little while. But Stacy, all this talk of 4K. So what do you got to say about 4K at this point, Stacy?
Me?
Yeah, you, Stacy. What do you got to say about 4K?
I thought Hope was going to talk.
No, you're talking right now, and then you're going to talk again. No, make it quick.
Okay, what do I think of 4K? I think, sure.
What? Wow.
No, I don't know. I mean,
that's really cheap jewelry. That's like the worst crap ever.
That's the worst grade of gold.
All they say in the industry right now is Stacy's going, I don't give a crap about this stuff.
No, I mean, I'll say like for all of our stuff that Vadio is doing, it's not a huge thing on our radar at this point.
4K is not a huge thing on the Vadio radar right now.
For what we're doing, not really. I mean, our stuff will be compatible with it, definitely, but it's not like we are designing anything specific for 4K. Our stuff's pretty universal.
Okay, so I have one football in the middle, and I'm going to put two teams on the field, 4K and UC. Who wins?
Ooh. Wow, I know. Pick me. Pick
okay.
Me.
Corey.
I know who wins at Vadio.
UC.
Corey.
UC.
Why?
Because I like it.
Okay, UC is going to win because one person watching a 4K cartoon, movie, sports show is one person watching a 4K TV. UC, you're going to have nine people on that thing.
I knew it. I knew that
and
was
Vadio. Vadio does a lot with video teleconferencing, very excellent quality cameras, and a lot of USB video to USB for your UC communications, mm-hmm. just like we're doing right now.
Right.
You know, right. 4K is going to be all red skinned out by the end of the season, and like no Super Bowl for them.
Red skinned out. Well, let's not go there, okay?
I thought we were calling them the Washington team now, Chuck.
We're calling them the Washington get out of towns at this point because we want nothing to do with you.
You can call them whatever you want. You know what I call them? The team that loses all the time.
Yes. Yes, lose somewhere else. We'll get back to Stacy, but though, Chuck, UC, absolutely. I mean, UC is what it's all about these days. 4K, I mean, you know, for NAB and everything going on down there, you know, relevant discussion. But in the AV industry at this point, I mean.
Now, I mean.
You bring this up because, you know, at the NAB conference, they're making way for more 4K content. They were talking about that, how the popularity of, you know, 4K compatible TVs is fueling interest for all sorts of people, whether it's based upon the home market and then bleeds over into the professional market. Mm-hmm. But it's become a big topic at NAB.
Well, I can see, okay, when you can get 4K that can split off into a bunch of little screens and I can see you crystal clear on a 720 image all over the place, that's great. Because we have nice cameras that'll broadcast 720 beautifully, and I can get like 30 of them in a 4K image, right? Yeah. Let's see. Let's do the math on that. Is that 16? Is that 16 720s?
I lost count.
I can't read or do math.
My brain went down 20 minutes ago. It's late.
We're all lost here.
So when they start doing 4K UC on a 98-inch 4K and everybody can be seen crystal clear and big enough where you could see facial expressions like this, it's going to be, I think it'll take off in the AV industry. For broadcast, it's great. I mean, I'm not going to knock 4K for broadcast, because if you go out and see what these guys are doing with their 4K cameras and filming, you know, the nature shows and wildlife, I know Discovery pays extra for high def, true high def bandwidth on the cable channel. So cool. You know, I can see chirps burping out in the wild on 4K. But a majority of my day, which is anywhere between 12 and 16 hours that I'm at work, I'm looking at faces. I'm looking at talking heads.
All right. So chirps burping and, you know, we got UC and 4K and whatever. We're going to get back to Stacy soon, but Hope, welcome back. Finally. How was the Sox game today, Hope?
Oh my God, it was great.
Really?
Yeah. We lost, so that was not so great. But yeah. You know, anytime you go in and you expect to be doing a full day of sitting at a computer screen and your boss says, "We have free Red Sox tickets. Would you like to go there this afternoon?" I mean, that's just a good day.
Yeah. Even if they lose, a beer and a stadium and a beer, or did you have a hot dog too?
I had a hot dog and a lemonade.
Oh,
wow. A hard lemonade. But
ooh, yeah. Oh, there you go. Chuck's happy to hear that one.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yes.
Hope, ready to sip from the trunk there?
Oh, yes. We're all right. Going to sip from the trunk together.
Oh, good. Well, you start.
All right. Well, so, you know, Krista asked me earlier to talk about programming for broadcast. And it is sort of its own little special snowflake or unicorn. Because, you know, traditional programming takes a bunch of stuff that you're used to, you know, walking across the room, hit a button, use a remote, that sort of stuff. And, you know, you kind of make it easier to use. But with the broadcasting, you know, you've got to sort of prove your worth to the people who are, you know, sitting at a mixing board like Chuck is or behind a camera, because, you know, they have big pieces of equipment, lots of faders, you know, and they don't want you to say, well, you just hit this little button on the touch panel. It'll be fine. You know, you need to get buy-in from them. So I think that's the biggest component of programming for broadcast or any big production booth, something like that, is talk, you know, you really need to talk to the people who are going to be using the equipment, find out what they need, what you can automate for them, and what you can do to make their life easier. Because when you're just setting up a video conference, you know, you hit a button, your camera connects, you're good to go. And in the broadcast sphere, you really, now I'm just droning on, but in the broadcast sphere, you know, you need to fine tune everything.
Well, no, it's true, because depending upon the setup, I mean, you might have like a TV studio setup that needed required programming, and, you know, maybe they have a 4 to 5 camera setup and two of those are pan, tilt, zoom, but they want to be able to control them or have them automate and plus everything else that's going on. I mean, there is definitely a different way to go about the programming for those. Now, do you find programming as in general for, I mean, programming, I guess, is programming. You either have the brain for algorithms or you don't, but do you find it to be any more difficult or not difficult to do the broadcast type of projects?
I would say that the broadcast type of projects sort of scratch a special itch of talking to somebody, finding out how they're going to use the system, and really thinking very hard about the user interface. Because, you know, you kind of have your touch panel templates for like a traditional system, a house or a conference room. But in a broadcast sphere, every system is going to be different. So you have to think about how they're going to use the room. What are the buttons I can give you? What are the ways that I can do to make this easier? Because, you know, if I've taken over projects that other programmers did, and, you know, the people who use the rooms will say, like, why do I have to use this freaking touch panel? Like, can't I just use my mixing board? You know, so it's all about sort of leading them through the system with a good touch panel and having them. Sorry, lost my train of thought there for a second.
What happened?
I don't know. I just thinking about step trunks and laughing.
I don't know why, but go ahead.
No, but it's every system is different, and a really great touch panel can actually make somebody's life easier. And a really terrible touch panel, and you end up with a customer who's like, this is crap. Like, give me a knob.
Yeah, I've seen that happen where you get, companies that don't necessarily do production systems on a daily basis. You know, they get brought in with customers and, you know, they have to outfit a studio or a control room, and, you know, they treat it as they would a typical AV room. And it looks beautiful and fantastic. And sure, it certainly can do what it needs to do, but not for how the broadcast people use the room. You know, so then they just like you said, they see this touch panel as a pain in the butt. It gets in the way. It's a sore to have to use because they're used to just turning knobs and pushing buttons to achieve what they need to do in like 1 to 2 steps.
And you know, if Rich was here, he would have said turning knobs and pushing buttons, right? Or something.
Yeah. Like, but right now, if he's turning knobs or pushing buttons, he's doing it down in the Florida Keys, and I don't know if he'd be touching those buttons.
Yeah. Don't touch those buttons or those knobs there, Rich. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do us a favor. Hope, did you finish or you got more?
Well, that's about it. You know, get buy-in, talk to your end user, figure out how they use the system and make it work. Program the shit out of it.
There you go.
Which is
technically speaking.
Yeah, just program the shit out of it. That's what I do all day, every day.
I like that. Go
ahead. And that's the way you should be doing every room. But I think the margin of error is much slimmer on a system like that, because in a conference room the alternative is to get up and walk across the room and hit a button and then to walk back and then to find a remote. Touch panel is generally going to be easier than that, especially if you've got some crazy projector up. Nobody wants to stand on a conference table for that kind of thing. But in the broadcast sphere, they're like, we can do this just fine with the old school equipment.
Hey, Hope, I think what you should really translate to is fully integrate the shit out of every room.
Yes.
What do you think?
Huh? Yes, just fully integrate the shit out of it. That is
there
what
we go. So for everybody out there listening, it's like, I think you should now sit everybody down and say, we are not going to start fully integrating the shit out of every room. Okay? What do you think?
Yeah.
You like that? Hey, Stacy, it's your turn. Are you going to pay attention?
I am.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, my dogs were trying to escape again.
Oh, man, the polar bear's back.
Well, do you want to chase the dogs before we get to you?
Nope, they're already gone.
They're already, they've already escaped? Okay, well.
No, they're locked back in.
Oh, good. Okay. So, Krista, who's our next call-in guest? Wait, she's not a call-in guest. She's already here, right?
She is. It's Stacy Kringlin.
Vadio Stacy?
Yeah, Vadio Stacy.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
She is, the Vadio booth is just gangbusters right now, so they couldn't break away to be a part of our show. So Stacy's going to enlighten us with new products that are being released or debuted at NAB.
Is that like a tag in? You know, they say, okay, Stacy, take it.
Right. Yeah, pretty much, I think. Yeah, I'm not really sure. No, I know that Vadio is debuting a bunch of new cameras. Well, not a bunch. I think there's three that we are launching. Probably the one that's getting the most excitement is the RoboShot 12 USB.
Ouch.
RoboShot.
Hi, Natalie.
There's Natalie saying hello. No, but the RoboShot USB is really getting a lot of traction. I know me being in the office while everyone's at the show, I've already been getting tons of calls about it. When's it going to be available? What's the pricing? All that kind of stuff. And for anyone wondering, it will be available end of this month, early next. But the big hype behind it is that it's USB 3.0, I think, is the big selling point for it. And it's simultaneous, if I can say that word, USB 3.0 and IP streaming, and then it also has HDMI output.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that's kind of the big selling point of that camera. We also have at the show our RoboShot 12 and RoboShot 30 HDMI cameras, just to expand on that product line, and a new POV camera that we're launching. That one I don't know as much about. because it was recently launched. And that's pretty much it. I know they also are showing our AV Bridge Matrix Pro. Our AV Bridge Matrix Pro is also being shown.
I'm sorry,
at the show.
I gotta tell all the listeners. Stacy's assistant is going crazy with the marker right now.
She really wants to color on all your faces.
Yes, everybody out there, it's Natalie, Stacy's daughter. Yes. She's coloring on all of us right now and showing us her new glasses.
Yes, so, we got new glasses.
Hi, Natalie.
Now she looks like mommy.
Put Natalie on. Put Natalie on.
Say hello.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Natalie.
Ah. Say hi. They said hi.
Say,
hi.
I love RoboShot. Say, I love RoboShot.
I love audio.
I love audio.
Oh, we all love audio.
Is it the greatest
Ron
place?
Burgundy style right there?
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Cool. All right. Thank you, Natalie.
I like your old work better.
Yeah.
No, audio is my old work. It's the only place I've ever worked. So
right.
He's talking the old building.
Exactly. The old building. So yeah. Audio is it. RoboShot. Everything's great. Haley, thanks for calling in, or thanks for passing it off to Stacy, actually. So, good stuff. Yeah. So, Krista, what's up on the agenda next?
And if anyone wants more information, go to Vadio.com.
Oh, sorry, Vadio.com, yes.
Good. Whew, almost cut you off. I almost, you to the curb.
Do we breathe because it wasn't a call-in?
No, we don't breathe. Okay. We're fishes. We're filter feeding through our gills.
I think Stacy still has two more minutes. Can I tell my favorite Vadio story?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Programming.
Go right ahead.
So as a programmer, I do everything remotely, so I often never see the products in person. And when I was first starting out programming, we did a job where we put in one of your fancy dock cams that lives in the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And I made the touch panel, everything was good, and then the tech calls me and kept me on the phone for 2 hours on a Friday night trying to figure out why the Zoom wasn't working, or the pan, or the tilt. Yeah, that's a stationary camera.
It's a dot cam.
It's a dot cam.
It looks straight down.
I just bought an audio camera, and I didn't think to ask, does it work with the remote? And then I finally said, can you go try it with the remote? Let's just make sure. And he goes, there is no remote.
I would have kept him hanging. I would have been like, keep trying. Keep trying.
That is not a controllable camera.
Hey, Stacy, how many of those calls do you get? Where, hey, my camera doesn't pan, tilt, and zoom.
I don't get that so much, but with the fixed cameras, someone will buy a fixed camera mm-hmm. that does not pan and tilt.
Right.
And they're like, how come the remote doesn't work?
Yeah.
Well, because it's not supposed to.
I guess.
You usually say another word after that, right?
Yeah.
After I hang up the phone.
After
you got to get the phone hung up before you mumble.
Yes. And make sure it's hung up.
Now, I'm curious if our next guest who's arrived, if he's had any issues with not hanging the phone up before he's mumbled something.
Oh.
I'd like to introduce Mr. Craig Tepke from BCA. Hi, Craig.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
How are you, Craig? You okay?
All right. Yeah, I'm good. What are you guys talking about today?
What are we talking about?
A little bit of everything.
The weather, NAB.
Just this little show called NAB.
Yeah, little show in Vegas. How's the show, Craig?
It was great. I thought my main focus on attending the shows this year was to see where some of the major manufacturers were at in terms of, IP video, routing IP video for live production. And that's what my focus was. So you got to see, where they're at, right? How far down the path of, developing a complete solution that they are. Mm-hmm. That was... Yeah, so I visited Grass Valley, Imagine Communications, Everts, to see how they were, how they were each doing it. Right, each have a slightly different way of doing it. Some of the products are more mature than others, So you got to see what they're probably doing with that. And also what I saw was a tremendous amount was drones, right? I've never seen so many so many manufacturers of the same product at an NAB, right? There was probably, I didn't count them, but I would say probably 50 drone manufacturers.
Wow. Yeah, that's something that I've come across a little bit more and more, Craig. This is Krista talking, where, you know, we'll have customers call in and they want to buy, you know, a drone because they have various uses for it. I mean, usually it's for outdoor shots of whatever they're trying to do. Have you come across that at VCA?
Yeah, we're not. As a systems integrator, we're not typically in the market of supplying camera accessories, right? Camera mounts accessories.
Yeah.
You know, any of the systems integration work that we do would involve camera pedestals or camera robotics. You know,
right.
For an indoor application.
Yeah, that tends to be what we do as well. But you always get the knucklehead that calls in every now and then that wants that, and for some reason they just still want to buy it from you, even though they could probably buy it cheaper direct. So I'm like, okay, I'll take your money and sell you that.
Nice. Yeah, it's just the sheer quantity and all the different sizes of them is just tremendous. But I think that's another whole regulation thing that's going on, right? The airspace with these cameras flying around.
So, yeah.
Prior to the beginning of the show, I did some recreational time out in the desert, and I went to a state park. And as I entered the state park, you know, it said, "Welcome to the Valley of Fire State Park. No drones." So I thought that was interesting. Yeah, because they want people flying them around.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Did you guys get a chance to spend any time at the show?
Actually, we did not. The five
we get,
people
we
that
get,
you're
we get to be
right vir-
we get to be virtual.
We're virtual, so
okay.
You know, perhaps next year or so, but we did not. So we're relying on the insight from you and some of the other guests we've had on to tell us from what we're gathering, both manufacturers and other guests like yourself had said that they think that this NAB could be one of the most well-attended shows. Did you get the same feeling?
Yes, I did. It's definitely coming back to, you know, a well-attended show. I think, do you get any stats on it? I heard some stats earlier in the week about 98,000 attendees.
Yeah, I think I might have seen that, but I haven't checked any stats as of today to see if that's changed any. You know, and sometimes I wonder in the beginning if those stats are really true. I mean, it's not like you walk through a turnstile where it clicks you in, you know, it's like, is that how many people registered initially, but then who actually shows? So I would think by today and or tomorrow, they'll have a true number of true attendees.
Yeah. So no, it was very well attended. They changed some configurations on some of the floors. You know, this NAB occupies, you know, the North Hall, the Central Hall, and the upper and lower floors of the South Hall. The edges and the further deep into the halls were a little less occupied with vendors. But I saw the product demos and the activity in the booths was fairly high than I've seen in the past.
Okay. Yeah, I also heard, like usual, Blackmagic made their big splash. I think they said they introduced something like 38 or 36 new products.
Yeah, that Blackmagic booth is a tough one to get into, right? Because they have that South Hall lower, right as you enter in, what used to be Apple's spot. And so they were, you know, they were quite full. When I was in that section of the show, I went across the hall, which was across the aisle, which was Grass Valley, and was looking at their product, because Grass Valley was recently acquired, or last year was acquired by Belden Corporation. Mm-hmm. So Belden Corporation now owns They've gotten into, you know, they've moved from just being the wire and cable guys to owning Miranda Technologies and that's Holly. So it's quite a growth.
Was there any manufacturers that you saw while you were walking around the show that was a pleasant surprise that you didn't either know much about them and then you got to talking to them and you're like, wow, that sounds like a great product, and or maybe you were familiar with them but they just maybe changed their ways around and I don't know, they're all super awesome now? And
I think it was the specific there was a specific manufacturer that I thought, right, we're looking at and targeting from an engineering team aspect, not only IP encapsulated video, but you know, the video different compression methods, right? So there's, you know, the standard H.264 and now the HEVC H.265, and who's making products for that now? Because that standard is not completely there yet, but people are starting to make software codecs for it as well as hardware. So you get to see some good quality demonstrations. And then getting to the audio networking side, you know, the proliferation of Dante, which we'll probably see a lot more at InfoComp, and then some AVB implementation. So a company, Axon, had some AVB product to use AVB as a transport for it. So that's an audio and video transport. So that was something that you hadn't seen too much in terms of products. So those, so that was kind of surprising to see that come around more.
Okay. Now I've never attended NAB. I've only ever attended InfoComm. So do they also have during the day different, you know, like training seminars or informative seminars? Like, because I often hear that NAB, because it's so large, I mean, you practically could use the time to just walk the whole show floor, but that there's also a lot of intricate dealer meetings that go on as well.
Yeah, the dealer meetings happen in the weekend prior to the exhibit starting, typically. Mm-hmm. This year, I noticed some of them pushed into Monday morning. But there was some seminars and some speakers that would occur during the exhibit days in the meeting rooms in the up in the central hall. I think it differs from InfoComm, where InfoComm has a strong educational component to it.
Yes.
And NAB does not have that so much.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, I think we are getting ready to move on to a next guest here, Craig. So I want to say thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day.
All right.
Thanks for calling
in,
Craig. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, Krista, is that all the call-ins?
Actually, that may be. There could be one more call-in. There could be a surprise call-in.
No, we'll hang up on them as soon as they call. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're going to say, oh, wrong number.
Wrong number.
And that's then right. We'll
pizza,
do that.
Unless it's the pizza man, and then, you know, we'll
take
that.
If it's the pizza guy, then we'll take it.
Right.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I would love to segue over to Chuck, because I just haven't heard Chuck enough tonight, and I want to know what our AV power-up is for
Where
tonight.
Did Chuck go?
I've been at the bar.
Oh. Yeah, it's okay. As long as he's drinking.
I am drinking. AV power-up. So let's see. I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 beers down, so it's perfect
That's
time
it?
To talk about
okay.
AV. Yeah, it's a slow night. So AV power-up, this AV power-up is going to be cross training, not cross dressing, cross training. working a lot with InfoComm, as you heard from our last guest, they are heavy into the educational aspect of the AV industry, and I'm a big proponent of certification. And the biggest question I get is, hey man, this CTS, is that going to be for me? I mean, I'm a insert job title here. So what it's all about is learning the aspects, small aspects of the entire industry, so you can, you know what you're talking about when you talk to your installers, or your installers talk to your designers, or your salespeople talk to your programmers. I mean, that's pretty much the furthest reach you're going to get. The sales guys come in at the beginning of the job, they hook the job, they sell the job, they write the contract, hopefully it's a good one. And at the end, Hope has to deal with these, like, I just want an on-off button, and she's made this big touch panel with all this intricate stuff, and it's like, no, I'm a VP. I want to come in and turn it on and turn it off, and everything just works. So if there was some cross-training going on, like, hey, you know what? If you're a sales guy, watch a webinar on programming, just dashboards or something small. If you're in engineering, it wouldn't hurt to learn a little bit about integration, about the actual installation of the equipment. And all of that stuff is going to be on your ANSI Infocom CTS certification test. That's why everybody says, man, I only had like 10 questions that were in my wheelhouse, and everything else I knew nothing about. Like, there was only like 3 questions on engineering and so many questions on project management. And the project managers are like, oh, there's like 4 questions on project management, and the rest were just integration. Learn the other trades. Talk to the other trades. Learn the AV industry. Get your CTS. That's your AV power up.
I like it. I second that, Chuck, because I do think that that is important. You know, so many times I think that people get stuck in their day-to-day job, whatever it is, you know, whether it's they're the programmer, they're the engineer, they're the salesperson, and they don't think about everything as a whole. You know, they don't take the 30,000 foot view on how the project goes from start to finish. And I think, you know, getting your certification and trying and actively being a part of learning it is huge, and it helps you appreciate the project as a whole. I mean, sometimes you just think maybe one of your coworkers is a total turd. Well, you know what? It's they may be, or
who's
it's
ever
because,
thought that, really?
Or it's because of the pressures that they have to deal with, and maybe they're a turd to you because they think you're the turd, you know. And then if you start to learn what each other does, you know, it turns out you're both not turds.
Be
you're wonderful.
The turd.
Yeah, like I know. Go ahead, Hope.
I was going to say, if I don't think that any of my coworkers are turds, does that mean that I'm the turd?
Yeah, possibly.
Turd by default. There you go.
I mean, you know, think about what Hope was talking about with her touch panel, and it's all about talking to the client. But seriously, Hope, how many times do you get to talk to the client before you start working on the touch panel?
Usually what happens is I make the touch panel, and then a bunch of people look at them internally, and then they send screenshots, and then the client says, I hate everything about this. And then we have a, we have a phone call, and then it starts, for real.
Wait, it starts without, I hate everything about this.
So what, that would be awesome. So wouldn't it be great if, like, after the contract was signed and the job, you know, the job is going, if the sales guy who, you know, cross-trained a little bit in programming came and said, hey, this is an executive level conference room, and they want to, like, 2 buttons. They want an on and a source select, and that's all you have to do. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes, although I would think that you would end up down the road with a very ugly touch panel as they added more buttons when they thought of them. but you know, I've worked with a lot of salespeople in my time as a programmer, and you definitely know who has put in the effort to learn the products and who has not. Because, you know, you get the system and you're like, this thing's a turd, and it's because they forgot some basic piece of equipment. And, you know, usually there's someone from engineering who puts a check in there and makes sure that they don't. But it is definitely the salespeople are easy to pick on because they drive nicer cars than us. At least me.
Wait, did you say something about picking on salespeople?
Yeah, I feel like I'm picking on sales in this moment, but you see it with everything. Oh. But, you know, yeah. There's definitely, you can tell who has learned because they spec better systems and they set better expectations with a client and they understand what a system can do.
Well, I know from commissioning, I got to say, like, we pick on salespeople, but salespeople, they really drive the entire project. That's like, yeah. it could either be a snowball at the top of the hill or shit at the top of the hill. And it's all going to roll downhill.
Yeah. Wait a second. I think that's putting it in a nutshell. I think, Chuck, would you put this in your classes, you know, when you teach them?
I actually do teach a whole topic on shit rolling downhill.
Yeah.
I got a great story about that for another time.
Sorry, Hope. I think I interrupted. I interrupted a Hope moment. Go ahead, Hope.
I don't even know.
You are so good at interrupting the Hope moments.
I know. I interrupt all the Hope moments. And Hope's back. I mean, after 2 weeks, she's back. I'm interrupting a Hope moment. It may be another 2 weeks before we hear from Hope again.
I'm a busy girl. I'm like the most well-trained programmer I've ever met because I keep learning. They keep sending me to trainings.
How many well-trained programmers like you have you ever met, Hope?
At least 23.
Yeah.
Next week, 23.
my boss called me a unicorn today, so I guess just me.
Oh. Was that in a good way or?
Yeah, I
eat. Or in a bad way, like you're about to become extinct.
No, in a good way, like you're one in a million. Yeah. Well, I think it's because I eat glitter and then I poop out touch panels.
There you go.
And there you go. We got
glitter poops out touch panels.
We've got very interesting perspectives on this particular show. So
I'm going to get away from pooping touch panels for
Please
a second.
Please do.
You know what? Like I had mentioned earlier, there's so many things that were going on at NAB. Now, like what I'm about to say is, besides, you know, that NAB is cool and I would learn things, but this would have been the reason for me to go to NAB. They had the executive producer, Robert Kirkman, from The Walking Dead there, as well as Stephen Young, who plays, what's his name? Come on, Chuck, help me out.
Stephen Young, Walking Dead.
Yes, he plays Glenn on The Walking Dead, but he was there. They were talking about the show and, you know, just how... it's gone on from being a comic book and, you know, Kirkman taking it and then making it a show and then just how, you know, what happens next and what goes on. And they just never thought they'd produce a zombie movie or TV series and that it would be popular.
And that would be graphic novel.
Thank you. Graphic novel. Sorry.
Yes.
Thank you.
Highly graphic.
Kids read comic books. Grown-ups read graphic novels. Totally different.
And you know what's funny? According to Kirkman, it says Kirkman laughed as he described the concept of the show, human people are dead and eating other people. That's pretty much the show.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he said.
Well,
I'm
that's
sorry.
A downer.
That's and ooh. Okay.
And if you watch the show, I mean, Chuck and I watch it. I'm not sure who else listening watches it. I'm pretty sure probably 80% of you do. I think that the show is shot rather well. You know, they utilize scene setup well, you know, the intricate shots. There was only one episode of all the seasons that I really didn't care for where they really shot it in the dark and it was so dark you really couldn't see what was going on. So for that 5 minutes, I was just kind of like, all right, whatever, next. You know, isn't there a zombie going to break through or something? But, you know, I thought that was pretty cool that, you know, that's one of the things I often see that NAB has is they, because it's all the production and broadcast people, they tend to get a lot of well-known people come to the event and host different seminars to talk about things, which is pretty neat.
Oh, yeah, it is. So we kind of were at NAB today.
Yeah, kind of were.
Yeah. So to recap, we had a call in from your fearless leader, Krista, right?
Yes, from Bruce McClellan from Applied Video Technology.
That's right. And then who did we have next? We had a battle royale between Marshall Electronics and...
and Fujinon. Two go in, one came out.
Who won that one, by the way?
I don't know. Tom was getting kind of technical. So if you go from a technical standpoint, maybe he did. But, you know, Devin brought the comedy, so...
He did. And on this show, whoever brings the comedy wins. So Devin wins that round. Okay, and then we had Ahim who tried to sneak in another. He did too. He tried to sneak in another. Wouldn't let him, right, Krista? We're pretty strict about that on the show, aren't we?
Yeah, you can't be sneaky Pete's in here.
No, you can't be sneaking things in this show. And yeah. And Craig brought, what did Craig bring? Craig brought some good stuff, didn't he?
Yeah, he brought, you know, some good insight from the show floor, much like Bruce did. Yes. Did you mention Achim? We had Achim from Sennheiser.
Well, I said Achim tried, you know, sneaking in that third one.
That's right, yeah.
He's going to send us all mics.
Right, Achim, if you're listening to this, we're all expecting mics in the mail.
Forward to my care package.
Yes.
I learned that Stacy's assistant wants me to have a mustache and glasses.
All of us, as a matter of fact. Yes.
You know, I loved hearing Hope talk about programming. I feel smarter every time Hope talks.
Oh, thank you.
I look smarter every time Hope talks.
I feel dumber every time Hope talks because I'm like, she's so smart, I'm stupid. Oh my God.
How about Stacy? What happens when Stacy talks?
What happens when Stacy talks? Awesomeness comes out.
I was going to say butterflies.
Butterflies, puppies, and
sunshine.
AV puppies. Oh, Krista, how about that AV puppy you had on your lap today, eh?
Oh, man, I took Scrimps with me to work.
Are you Canadian?
Awesome.
How's it going, eh? No, that's Minnesota. How's it going, eh?
Yeah. Right now, the dogs are freaking out. They're downstairs because I put them away since my husband's out for the evening, and I couldn't have anybody watch them. So,
oh, okay.
They're like, Mom, get off your podcast. Who do you think you are?
Mom, take care of us. And there's Natalie. Natalie's Natalie's been away for a while, Stacy. She's all sugared up now, isn't she?
I don't know what she's been.
What's Dad doing? Is he giving her like licorice and candy and stuff?
Pixie sticks.
Pixie sticks.
What's Dad doing?
They're doing lines of sugar in the kitchen.
Yeah. And on that note.
So I
would
say on that note, I want to thank everyone we just mentioned, all of the guests that called in. You know, Bruce, Tom, Devin, Achim, Craig, Stacy, our own very Stacy from Body, our own very Hope.
Our own very Stacy.
We have such intelligent ladies on this show. I love it.
And this is a new Hope, by the way, because, you know, it's been 2 weeks. We forgot all about how it used to be with Hope. Now it's a new Hope.
Yeah.
So this is episode 4 IV, A New Hope. So we feel good and refreshed and everything moving forward because we've got a new Hope.
Yes.
Yeah. And Stacy.
Thank you so much, Chuck. I love how you talk about standards for our industry. I think it's so important. And the more people hear it, that hopefully the more people realize that it is important.
Exactly.
And thank you from myself. And thank you, Corey, for putting up with us and letting us talk.
How do I keep doing this? I don't know. This is going to go on for a long, long time. I got to figure this out, as a matter of fact.
So thank you very much from the AB Power Up team. We hope you enjoyed this NAB-centric podcast.
Yes, and we'll see you next time.